But the topic today was we're in our series called Bless, looking at what it means to live a life that is contagious, a life that is eager to share the gospel with the world around us. And we know that it begins with prayer. And so as we started the series, in this case, it would be actually several weeks ago, we got a few little interruptions. We challenged one another to pray for the people in our lives. And so in this jar right here, it's 570 names of people that we are praying for on a regular basis. And each week, as we hear stories of some of those folks taking steps forward in faith, and especially for those new commitments, we've been adding a rose. And I don't know if you've been noticing, but the number of roses in the vase, it's growing. God is working. People are coming to Christ. So it begins with prayer. It ends with opportunities to share our story. But there are steps in between, including the one that we're going to be looking at today, what it means to listen with care. Then next week, we're going to look at what it means to eat together. A couple weeks ago, we had a serve Sunday, and we really focused on that other piece of serve with love. And then, 2 weeks from now, we'll be looking at the topic of so how do you share your story? Just trying to equip each other so that when those opportunities come, we're ready to go. But today, I want to talk about listening. Are you a good listener? If you were to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 of how good a listener you are, how would you rate yourself?
3.
3? Okay. Tell the person next to you what your rating would be. What your rating would be. And you can tell the person on the other side of you what your rating might be. Yeah. Because truth be told, there are some real challenges to listening, aren't there? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My wife says I'm a bad listener, or at least she said something like that. I have no idea. Yeah. But there are challenges to listening. Like, have you ever had that situation where, you know, you're busy, or you've got this thing that you know you have to remember, and then you get into a conversation, and it almost feels like if you fully engage in that conversation, you're going to forget the thing that was on your head, like it's going to fall out. You're like, where did it go? I had it, and then... So there's all these internal challenges. We've got all this stuff happening in here, and so it can be really hard to let in something from somebody else. There also can be external challenges to listening, because sometimes, if we're being honest, some people are easier to listen to than others. You know, sometimes there's folks, you know, like where they're on one topic and then suddenly we're on like totally different. So they're talking to you about, you know, the experience they had in the grocery store and how long the line was, and it was horrible, and there was all these bags, and there's a thing, and then blue, and now we're talking about the color. Like, you just can't squirrel. Exactly. Or have you ever been in a conversation where you've just sat there and you've kind of wondered, just you know, in your head, because you're too polite to say it out loud, do you breathe? You know, you're like, can we have just enough of a pause in what you're saying that somebody else can say something? And it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort. I mean, I don't know about you. I want to be a good listener. And it's hard. And yet listening is so absolutely critical to our growth in life and certainly our growth in faith, because, I mean, that's the primary way that we learn things. Listening to the people around us. And it's the primary way that we grow in our faith is we listen to God. But it's hard. So as we look at that topic of listening, I want to study this passage. We're going to be in John chapter 5. So if you got your Bibles, open them up. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. We're going to be looking at this Bible story, one that might be familiar to you already, but through that lens of listening and looking at how Jesus models really good listening for us and the things that we can learn from him, and how through him we can actually become better listeners. You know, listening to God's movement in our life, and as we talk about what it means to be reaching out to the world around us, to be listening for God's movement in the people around us. You know that God is on the move all the time. He's working all around us everywhere. The problem isn't so much with God, it's with us. We miss out on what God is doing because often And I'm as guilty of this as anyone. We're just distracted. And we miss his work in us, and we miss his work around us. And life is too short, friends, to miss out on what God has to say. So, John chapter 5, okay? You got your Bibles open? Okay. So it starts at verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. There a number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. How long? 38. Is 38 years a long time? Yeah, ask my kids. Anybody over 30 is like an old person. This is old. It doesn't seem as old to me now, so you can save your emails. But 38 years, that's a long time. That's a long time to be in the same situation. There for 38 years. Quick pause. Now, those of the Bible scholars among you, you'll notice as we've read that slide. Oh, can we go back one slide, please? Verse 3, do you notice something missing? What's missing? Verse 4. Isn't that good? So some of you have your Bibles open, don't you? Okay, look in the footnotes. It's in the footnotes of your Bible. Now, a few of you have Bibles that have verse 4, probably like the American Standard Version or the King James Version. And there's a note next to verse 4, isn't there? Because in verse 4, it's probably not original to the Bible as far as we can tell, but there is something there's a commentary that gets added in verse 4. And one of the things I love about biblical scholarship is when there are these little things, these kind of slightly questionable verses, it tells us all that stuff. So in verse 4, but it gives us this important piece of information. So I'm going to read verse 4 from the footnotes. Verse 4 says, "See, from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters, and the first one into the pool, after each such disturbance, would be cured of whatever disease they had." So here's the situation. So there's this pool outside of Jerusalem. People are gathered all around it. And you could almost think of it as like local legend, is that from time to time, something would happen, and we don't know whether this is like a literal place where like literal miracles are happening, or this is more kind of like, you know, the Virgin Mary shows up on a piece of toast kind of thing. We don't know if it's more sort of superstitious or if this is like the real deal. We don't know that. But what we do know is that people were desperate for healing. And they gathered by this pool. Many people over many years, with the understanding that from time to time, the water would just sort of stir, and then whoever would make it into the water first would get healed. And among all the people there, there's this guy. And Jesus enters the scene, and he notices this person, and he engages in conversation. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there, and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. How long? 38 years. It's a long time. A long time. He asked him, "Do you want to get well?" I got to pause here first. So Jesus comes into this scene, and there's all these different people that he could have talked to. How did Jesus know that this was the right person to talk to? What do you think? Holy Spirit? See, God leads and guides us. And part of the story is that we're reminded that Jesus was listening to God the Father in how he engaged with the world around him. Now, what we don't know from this story, whether this was like a kind of this like voice of God, "Jesus, that guy. No, not that guy, that guy." That, you know, like we don't know if he was led like that. Or it was maybe a little bit more like the way that you and I are probably led the most often, which is just through circumstance. Now, it's true that God can speak in very dramatic ways. Maybe you've had that happen in your life. I've had it happen a few times in my life, where just this really deep sense of God saying something, you know, loud and profound. But a lot of the time, the way that God leads is just through those really subtle things, those little circumstances, those things that we notice, those coincidences, you could say. So maybe Jesus went up to the man just because he noticed him and thought, well, maybe I could do something for this guy. You know, when you're looking for God's leading in your life and you're looking to listen to God, sometimes God will speak dramatically. And if he does, definitely do what he says. But oftentimes, he just speaks through these subtle things. That person that just kind of comes to mind and you think, should I pray for them? Answer, yes. You know, you just notice somebody and you go, gosh, they look like they're really down. Oftentimes, that's the Holy Spirit just giving you those little micro nudges, those tiny little things. You don't necessarily need something super dramatic to happen to know that God is directing you to do something positive for somebody else. So that's one form of listening. And Jesus was listening. So he comes up to this guy who's been in this condition for, can we go back one slide? Okay. For a long time. How long? 38 years. And he asks him, now we can go to the next slide. What's he ask him? Right. If you were this guy, how would you feel about this question? Now, I was talking to the guys at Hospitality House earlier this morning, and some of them were saying, well, it maybe depends on the guy, which is true. I just know that if I was being asked this question, I'd be offended. You're like, I've been here for 38 years. I've been waiting for God to answer my prayers for 38 years. What do you think, Jesus? But it's interesting that Jesus asks all these questions, isn't it? In the New Testament, I looked this up this week, Jesus asked 307 questions. That's a lot of questions. It's kind of weird, isn't it? That the person that on earth who would have more to say than anybody else, I mean, Jesus, literally the wisest, most insightful person ever, and it seems in many situations he knew what was going on in somebody's thought life and like their background, he kind of knew everything. Jesus would ask all these different questions. I don't think Jesus was asking this question because he didn't know the answer. I think Jesus was asking the question because he wanted this man to have an opportunity to say something. He wanted something that was already stirring in this man to find its way to the surface. Sometimes God asks us questions for that reason, so that we have to examine what's going on in our hearts a little bit more. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Now, if you're like me, well, actually, let's see how the man responded, and we'll keep going. Okay, so, sir, the invalid replied, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. I'm trying to get in, and somebody else gets down there ahead of me. So I've been waiting here 38 years. Every now and again, something happens, but I never make it. It's never my day. My lottery ticket never wins. It just never works out for me. 38 years. You know, one of the things that we sometimes do with God as we're asking him to intervene in our life is we have this idea of what we want him to do. And we kind of expect God to follow our instructions for healing. Or maybe this phrase will relate to you. Like, because I'm guilty of this sometimes, where I'm saying, God, would you please change my circumstances? But I won't change. Can you just change everything else around me? Can you just make all, like, him, change him, because he's messed up. Change her. Can you just have me make more money? Can you just have this, could you fix my wife? You know, could you make my kids, could you just please? oftentimes we're asking for somebody else or something else around us to change. And very often the thing that God's wanting to change isn't necessarily the world out there. You know the answer to this one, but it's where? It's the world in here. This man was coming up with excuses. Here's the reasons I can't. Here's the reasons it hasn't happened. Nobody was there to help me. I was supposed to go into the water when the Virgin Mary, like, toast popped up from the toaster or whatever, you know. Something was supposed to happen. Where's my miracle? So Jesus says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? In verse 8, so Jesus said to him, after he's heard the man's excuses, after he's seen the man's heart, after he's listened to the man's answer, Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Now, when we ask God for healing, sometimes he doesn't heal us in the ways that we want. But he always promises to answer in the ways that we need. Do you know that when you gave your heart to Jesus, if you've given your heart to Jesus, or maybe today you could, do you know that when that happens, you are a brand new person on every single level? Do you know that? When you trust Jesus for your salvation, you say, God, thank you that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. That when you take that first step of faith, of trusting Christ, something just absolutely foundational changes in you. And you become a child of God. Something absolutely foundational changes in you, and everything that separates you from God is dealt with. Just like that. And your foundational identity is as a child of God. Your foundational identity is one who has been redeemed. Your foundational identity is one who has been restored and been made right with God. As this man encountered Jesus, Jesus asked him to start to step into the healing that he had for him. Asked him to get up. He asked him to do something in response to God's work in his life. I'm so glad that the man listened. I'm so glad that the man took that step of faith. As God speaks to you in your life, maybe as God's speaking to you this morning, maybe as you're even hearing that question of, do you want to get well? How would you answer? You know, we encounter God through a variety of different ways. We meet God through his word, and I hope that you would. I hope you're in the habit of being in the word. There's nothing more transformative on a daily basis. We also, as I talked about, we also encounter God through our circumstances and through the situations in our life. I hope that you and I will have a heart that's open to learning from our circumstances. God also can speak in that still small voice of the Spirit through those times of prayer as we seek him. And then God can also speak through the community around us of God-loving Jesus people that care about us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us collectively. So I want to ask you today, are you listening? Are you listening? Do you want to listen? God is already at work in the people around you, the people that are in your, whether you've filled out a card or not, the people in your jar, God's already at work in those places. Are you listening? Are you listening? That is, God stirs in their life and calls people to, and is drawing them to himself. You know, our job isn't to lecture. Our job is to listen people into the kingdom of God, to help people identify where God is already at work in their life, to help them to connect the dots, to love them enough, to have the integrity to to share our story with them. So are you listening? Do you want to listen? And do you want to get well? As God asks you, do you want to get well? What are you asking God to do in your life today? I want to give us some opportunity just to interact with that. Maybe as as the band comes up and our heads are bowed, and we just have a moment. You know, if your life is like mine, your weeks, there's times where things are just really busy, really full. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to have a lot of different things on our minds, isn't it? It's hard to listen. Would you just take a moment, just still your heart before God? Whether that's under your breath, whether that's whispered, God, I want to hear from you this week. God, I want to hear from you today. Lord, help me to listen. Lord, help me to listen. Just imagine what can happen in your life as the distractions get removed, not so much from your day, but from your heart. As you become more open to the circumstances and the situations around you and how God might be leading. How God might be stirring in the people around you. And for those of you that you've got somebody in your life that you're praying for. There's one of your, a loved one of yours that has their name in the jar, so to speak. How might God be working in their life? Would you just take a moment, even just to ask him that question?